Number 14, Free Farmers Market. Built in 1910 by the Eccles Investment Company for about $100,000, the Free Farmers Market was intended to accommodate a farmers market and the sale of wholesale produce in one location, rather than being spread across the city. Upset, the farmers refused to relocate from their street spots and formed their own open-air farmers market in a nearby area. Consequently, the building was marginally successful as a market, housing only commission agents and wholesale grocery firms that included fruit, meat, and produce vendors. To accommodate the shipments of produce, loading docks ran the full length of the building in both the front and the rear. The front docks were used for trucking and the back doors for trains that ran directly behind the building.
My parents are from Crete, Greece. My dad was from an area called Swaka, which is the Himen part of Crete. My mother was from Hanea, the capital of Crete. She followed her first husband to Sunnyside, Utah, where he worked in the mines. That was what most Greek men did at the beginning. Through one relative or another riding home, they found out where the jobs were. That's how it worked. My mother's first husband was killed in the mines. As close as I remember the story, he was digging for coal when a slack of rock dislodged and crushed him, leaving my mother a widow with children. While we were growing up, we were all expected to go to Greek church when the services were held, and we were talked to about religion all the time. Most of our religion education was taught by original immigrants and some of the old priests. They were full of superstition and stories about the supernatural. But you know, if you're going to believe in God and life after death, then you got to believe other things that can happen. So we believed it all. We were told to never whistle in the dark because the devil would appear. Don't look into a mirror at night, and don't sweep the house after dark. I don't know why you shouldn't sweep the house after dark, but even now, if my wife sweeps late at night, I'll tell her to stop. We were told to leave the house by the same door we went in, and if you are being away from home on New Year's Day, don't be the first one to come back. To be safe, toss a big rock through the door so the strength and health of that home will be as strong as that rock. Primping up the mirror, for example, is also a bad omen. It has to do with the devil, but I don't know why. I was still a kid when we moved from Castlegate to Salt Lake City. I know we didn't bring many things with us. We never had a lot of things. We moved into Cliff Place, which is on 350 South West Temple, and paid $10 a month for rent. Cliff Place had three or four houses that looked into the courtyard. Behind it was a Rigby Court, with probably another 20 homes occupied by Greeks, Italians, Swedes, and of course, Americans. There were fences that divided the two complexes, but they didn't stay up long. Rather than walk clear around the block to pay a visit, kids ran tires through the fence and opened up enough boards to pass through. Living at Cliff Place wasn't harder than living at Castlegate. The only thing I had to do was stick up for myself. Regardless of where we went, whether it was among other ethnic groups or people that referred to themselves as Americans, we had to be ready to fight. If we were playing softball in Pioneer Park, and another group of kids came over and wanted to take over the field, we'd have a war. And if we were chickened out, if we refused to fight, we didn't play. From where we lived, we could always walk to the growers market located where the downtown Hilton is today. It was an open market with stalls for selling produce. The Bamberger Railroad ran along the back of it. During those hot summer months, early in the mornings, farmers would truck their goods in, rent stalls, and sell fresh vegetables or fruits. Since all the traffic came in from West Temple side, vendors who set up shop close to that side sold out quicker than others. People always bickered around for the cheapest price. We'd go down there and work for those farmers. We'd be bag boys or sell vegetables, and they'd pay a nickel or a dime for 5 to 6 hours of work. I'd say probably a couple of hundred farmers came in each day and sold their goods. Sweet Candy Company was also in the area. Sometimes we'd go out to the back of their factory and find boxes of defective candy that they tossed out. You know, those that were smashed or a little deformed. We'd eat them. They were delicious. Sometimes, too, we'd watch crews unload railroad tank cars of syrup. They'd hose it into Sweet's basement, and after they'd leave, we'd find big globs of corn syrup stuck in the coupling. We'd fill cups full of it. It was good stuff. Heck, it was pretty sweet, too. Andrew Casanova, 65.